Time now for Ken and Curtis with Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on WEEI.
All right, where would you rather be than right here at Fenway Park? Christopher John Curtis, a little under the weather yourself,
yes.
Fighting through it like Rafi Devers used to do.
I can't hear anything.
Oh, my God, I can't even hear him.
All right, you talk. I'll turn my mic up.
What the hell? That is strange. Okay, well, off to a great start here on the Ken and Curtis show. Curtis is a technical wizard, though, so he will fix this out immediamente. I think you better use a different mic, Curtis. I'm not sure what's going on with that one. This is pretty much sums up the state of Boston sports right now. As we are in a morass of negativity that I'm not sure we're going to get out of until the Celtics get back onto the court. We are at the Fenway Ford Clubhouse Studio, presented by your New England Ford dealers and the Freedom of Choice. Shop deals built for you on the New England Ford F-150, official truck of the Boston Red Sox. Last night, the Red Sox were historically bad. In the wake of a historically bad Patriots loss to the Jets on Thursday night.
Hello, can you hear me now?
I got you now. Sound good.
All right.
How about 20 strikeouts, tied for the most in team history, while going 1-for-19 with runners in scoring position, 17 left on base.
We've already spent too much time on the Sox.
You just have to marvel right off the bat here, as we are wont to do,
right
out of the chute. You have to marvel at how bad the state of Boston sports has been this week.
So I was wallowing a bit this morning. But the Celtics did just win a championship. So it's, mm-hmm. I mean, many markets like New York or Philadelphia would do anything to get a basketball title. However, it does feel, I know it's our favorite word, like the nadir of the Sox and the Pats right now.
Nice job.
Where it is just, Red Sox, I believe this morning I was told it's a 0.2% playoff chance. And I still think they have a better shot than the Patriots making the playoffs. That was the most demoralizing. Just, I said this on the Greg Hill show yesterday. If this wasn't my job, and I grew up, I never missed a Pats game from when Parcells arrived. I would have turned that off after the first quarter. We all knew it. I don't know how to live gamble. I would have put everything on the Jets blowing doors. I mean, it was
at 14-0. You knew it.
When Jacoby Brissett airmailed Hooper
yeah.
on the one play,
that was the play of the game.
Because it's a 7-0 game.
Yep.
That would have been what, at the plus 40, somewhere around there.
Yep.
1st and 10. The big thing was, my biggest takeaways from the Patriots in that game was Jerod Mayo. I've been a big proponent of the rewarding of Pop Douglas with the immediate touches in the aftermath of his complaints for the lack of offensive usage was alarming.
If Bill were coaching this team, you would have been all over him. All over.
Well, I mean, Bill rewarded Devontae Adams. Is it Parker or Adams?
Parker.
Devontae Parker with the Patriots?
Yeah. Adams is in Vegas.
Right. Devontae Parker openly bitched
right.
about DeAndre Hopkins and the Patriots' pursuit of him. Bill Belichick rewarded him with more money.
Fine.
So to say that Bill Belichick was in some way different is to rewrite history.
Okay, but calm down. But a couple weeks ago, week one, you were feeling pretty good, as was most of the region, with that Bengals win.
They don't win that game with Belichick coaching.
Oh.
They might win the Seahawks game with Belichick coaching.
Okay. I think Bill's feeling pretty good about himself this morning.
Did you see the – I should tease it. I just was reading on the computer at the broken setup here. Of the new team that is the likely landing spot of Bill Belichick next year.
Really?
Yes.
Odds on favorite.
Some guy named Steven Ruiz in The Athletic wrote a piece or said something on a podcast where he stated rather convincingly where Bill Belichick will be, and it's a team nobody has mentioned.
Wow, save that.
So we'll do that later. But the fact is that game Thursday night shook the foundation of any belief you would have of the direction they're going in.
But isn't the spin it to Kraft responsibility? I know Shime this morning is all over Alex Van Pelt. You can see this coming.
I don't care about any of those guys.
You can see this coming a mile away. Drake May is going to get in. He's going to struggle the same way Brissett is.
Right.
And Shime is going to blame the play caller from here until the end of the season.
The person you blame is the person in the high chair.
Right.
It's Robert Kraft.
Yes.
The stories were about him. He made it about him pregame, where he said, I knew 5 years ago Jerod Mayo was my guy. He can't get out of his own way. I find it to be so fascinating, the psychology of billionaires who are still so needy.
But don't you feel a little bit of sympathy for Bill if he were truly hamstrung financially under a budget, as he sort of alluded to? He said that to you, right?
He did, but he's also gone. I mean, Bill's been all over the map. He blamed the millionaire's tax. It didn't. I mean, which one is it? But yes, at the end of the day, it is what I believe has been what was done to Bill is what Bill did to Tom.
You know, I picked him 5 years ago to be our next.
The audio on the Prime thing was just sucked. So bad.
Herb Street sounds like he's on Quaaludes. I don't even know what's going on. But they had the when the Patriots drafted Jimmy G in 2014.
Yeah,
it had been a decade between Super Bowls, and Bill was ready to go to the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was way too early. Robert Kraft was exhausted by the tiresome antisocial approach of Bill Belichick.
Ordered the code red trade. Sided with Brady. Good move by Kraft. Hall of Fame move.
Of course. Oh, but of course he belongs in the Hall of Fame. But that's just, who doesn't believe that he belongs in the Hall of Fame? Boring argument. But I would say Bill Belichick had done to him what he did to Tom. Why are you rushing to get rid of Bill Belichick instead of maximizing the window you had? And that's, of all the things, people can point to the cheating scandals, they can point to the Orchids of Asia, they can do any number of things. The reason Robert Kraft isn't in the Hall of Fame is because he wants it too badly, because he's obsessed with curating an image instead of just allowing it. Jerry Jones couldn't be a more flawed human. He's in the Hall of Fame because he led a team to one dynasty.
But here's my read on the whole thing, the current situation. I think the Krafts have got to be sitting here now watching the product and saying, we missed on this. We wanted this year to be a cycle through old contracts of coaches and get financially right in the wake of Bill. Let Mayo cut his teeth as a coach, but we're not ready to spend until next year. But the problem with that is they've put a product out here with some new parts, some of which you can build on. Drake May certainly has promise. I mean, I think, you know, everybody's still excited to see him. But when he comes in, the product around him is not going to be ready to support him, and that's going to be potentially damaging to next year or the year after that.
Right. In the same way that Bill Belichick was lulled into a false sense of security in the manner in which he built the roster when he had the greatest to ever do it at the most important position, Robert Kraft was
probably
also lulled into a false sense of security that you can maintain these low-paid assistants, other than Bill's kids, and you can still succeed around a guy that you believe in as a head coach. Jerod Mayo needed all the help he could get, not because he's unable to do the job, but because it's the first time he's doing the job. There's a reason you have a learner's permit before you get your license.
But, like, Alex Van Pelt, if you were Alex Van Pelt, what would you possibly do with this palette of colors? I mean,
but that's why you have Alex Van Pelt. It's why you have
Craig
Breslow.
Nobody should blame Alex Van Pelt for anything from here until, I mean, just to blame him for anything is ridiculous.
But that's why nobody wanted the gig.
Okay, yeah, that gets back to, yes, deciding to kind of.
And if you believe that Robert Kraft was going to spend like crazy next year, you'd go a year early. Why not? But they don't.
But so I think what they're hoping for now.
You're wrong about the Krafts. The Krafts knew they were going to suck this year.
And I think they felt like they could get by on the promise of Drake, and they're still hoping that.
How many wins do you think the New England Patriots brass believed they'd have this year?
They'd fight for 500, but probably 7.
You think that Robert Kraft thought this team was winning 7 games?
Yeah.
No way.
You thought they were winning 7 games.
Absolutely. In every conversation I have had with people in his orbit, of all the people within that organization, they knew that they were going to be paying for what they believed, not my opinion, what they believed to be Bill Belichick's dereliction of duty in building the roster, and that this was going to be a really rough year.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I don't know about what rough is. So you think 4 wins? They're expecting 2 wins?
I would say 3. I think 4 wins would be about what they expected, maybe just where the over-under is.
But I am starting to think that ownership was involved with the Drake May plan. Because we know Mayo's not really involved in the offense at all. I mean, he kind of oversees it fine.
Well, he says something, and then he has to clean it up the next day.
Right.
Which shows you that he's not.
So is it crazy to think ownership, let's go down to your line of thinking. They knew we were going to be terrible. We're just going to let contracts expire. We're going to save some dollars. We're going to have more cap space next year, and then we'll try to see what we've got and surround and make a good team out of it. But let's hold off on Drake May, because you can be horrible for a little while and still dangle that carrot. And I'm starting to think week five is out for Drake May. The plan is Jets week, is that eight, coming back from London? Midpoint of the season is when they want to drop the rookie in for hope for the fan base. Keep you around for the first half. Get that home game pop coming back from London. And then you've got a good 6 to 8 week window to see how he develops.
Yeah.
And that keeps your paying customers interested.
I haven't seen a single TV rating for the first three games, which is not good news. Those are released by the team. And I don't think they can wait until week eight. I think they're going to get their doors blown in San Francisco. They're going to come back 1-3, which is the same place they've been in the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. And that is a borderline must-win if you want to have any semblance of a season.
Yeah, but that's not, I mean, semblance of a, you,
if they
you
go
said
to,
they don't, they know there's no semblance of a season.
But I'm saying that if Drake May comes in that game and, you know, Tyreek Hill goes off with whoever their backup is and you lose 21 or 28-24,
mm-hmm.
but Drake May throws for two touchdowns, no picks, and the offense looks somewhat professional. Then you get the fan base engaged.
Yeah, but what if you fall on your face and it's 24-3? Season's over.
And it's not...
People are apple-picking.
In the same way that the way in which the Patriots spent was status quo, you could take some blame off of Bill and the way he spent because maybe they had the same opinion, but it's not like Robert was demanding he spend and he didn't. The way in which that this team has puked all over their shoes on primetime games for the last 4 years. The best one was the return of Tom, the Sunday night game where Mac, you know, played him close and you miss a field goal and, you know, the rest is history. But it feels like there hasn't been a primetime game where they have showed up ready to go in the last 4 years.
But yet after week one, you sat here, as many did, and we all thought, unbelievable.
What was your reaction to week one?
It was an amazing win.
And it wasn't like they were running, you know, oop-de-oop rights or, you know, flea flickers. It was a basic, we're going to run the ball, we're going to stop you. The biggest play of that game that showed me promise was the 4th-and-2 stop by Jonathan Jones.
Well,
the tackling.
Stevenson, in the fourth quarter, they won the game. They took over the line of scrimmage, and Stevenson ran the ball well.
And then you're watching last Sunday.
Yeah.
You're seeing the 4 o'clock game after you lose it overtime to a Seahawks team. You're seeing, if not for an idiotic play by the safety of the Bengals beat the defending two-time defending champions, the team you beat in week one.
Right.
So,
but it's more of just that was like a preseason game. Like Bengals weren't ready. There's no preseason. They caught them by surprise. Bengals overlooked them, played poorly. You know, Mayo's credit, he had him ready to go, but this week, totally different story.
And in hindsight, you can say it's luck now. The fumble by Cardona that's forced. Like, there was opportunities that you grabbed that otherwise wouldn't have been there. But in real time, how else would you react to week one?
I know, but I'm just saying here in, that was September 8th. It's now September 21st. I mean, it's an embarrassment. It's flipped in 2 weeks.
Well, even if you go back to the second quarter of week two, Patriots are beating the Seahawks. They're about to be 2-0. The Jets are losing with the Titans having the ball on like the 8-yard line. Titans winning 7-0. The Jets are about to go 0-2 against the Titans. And all of a sudden, Will Levis is Will Levis. And the Jets win. And then they blew doors on Thursday night. And now we sit here.
Well, let's just start from a big picture view. We'd like you to join us here on the Kenny Curtis Show, live from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio at Fenway Park, where the Sox are pretty much officially dead. Patriots, where's your hope? When should Drake May get in? Is Thursday an anomaly of any kind? Do you see, is this the nadir? Do you see it going up from here? How do they get out of this? How do they get out of the pit?
Well, Robert Kraft is now on his own, and he is not able to do the one thing that you need, which is just spend like crazy. When the Patriots last took a quarterback in the first round, they spent $250 million around Mac Jones, and the team went up 3 wins from the year prior. You went to the playoffs, and it felt like you were at the ground floor of something good.
Right. Instead, they regretted that and felt it was wasted money. But you're right. They should have looked at that as that was key that we did that. We gave Mac a chance in his first year and built a good foundation, and then Bill blew it.
And then Bill
brought in Patricia and ruined it.
And the other thing that's just a blind spot of billionaires, like, Robert Kraft loves telling people he bought the team for $200 million in 1994. He literally has the broadcast say it every time they show him on the high chair. And it's like, well, then what's the excuse? The team's worth $10 billion now. Like, how could you excuse not investing into this product? When if you look at the offensive line, all we said, this is a successful season. If you see that Drake May has this chance to be a really legit top 15 NFL quarterback, you preclude their ability to do any sort of assessment by having a right tackle at Penn State start as a rookie as a left tackle in the NFL.
Yeah, who could still be something down the road, but tough spot for him to enter in, no doubt about that. Caden Wallace, 617-779-7937 to reach the Kenny Curtis Show. Got your Pats thoughts, your State of Boston sports thoughts. On top of that, Swayman's not going to play until December 1st, so it was a pretty good week. We do have BC football tonight, though.
Best team in Boston.
Are you headed to the Heights?
No.
Could be a sloggy affair.
It is not a great night for a tailgate. I will be watching from the safety of my home.
Okay. Joe B has your trending update. We'll get that Belichick intel. You want to do that next? Where's Bill going to end up?
Do it.
I love it. We'll do that next.
I kind of felt like the teams that understood who they were early. I mean, clearly New England was not going to let Jacoby Brissett beat them, so they were going to run the football. And Cincinnati obviously didn't do a good enough job of making New England play left-handed, and that's why they start the season once again losing the opening game.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing at Pittsburgh, right? Pittsburgh and Atlanta. Pittsburgh, don't turn the ball over, play good defense, keep the score down. I don't want to say win ugly, but win.
Win ugly.
And they did.
That's how they win.
Now, Bill was right. Bill was right in hindsight. Ugly win, week one. Patriots didn't beat themselves, won ugly. Bill criticized the Patriots a bit last week for their clock management, so he took a little jab there, but it's a happy Bill. Bill is happy. As Dan Shaughnessy wrote in the Globe, Curtis, in his weekly notes, the hoodie slash Golden Bachelor must be having a good chuckle right about now. Living the dream, appearing on hundreds of media platforms, owning half of Nantucket, and smirking while Bob and Jonathan Kraft try to find someone new to blame for their unwatchable product. Thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think he looks great. The team is exactly where they were with him.
Well, and when they were 1-0, he couldn't have been pleased.
Well, he's happier today.
He was restless, much happier.
I mean, the Patriots were 1-3 the last 3 years.
When is the Brady statue getting pulled out, by the way? Any intel on that?
None. None whatsoever.
Is that December 1? You bring Drake May in week 8?
I would tell you the day to do it would probably be December 12th if you want to do anything numerology-based.
Well, they got a bye week there.
I'm just saying 12-12 wouldn't be a bad day to do it.
Midweek?
Well, he's in New York. He's usually posting from the Fox studios in New York in the middle of the week, so maybe just fly up to Boston.
And is he still going to come and do that game on Miami game? Are they going to flex out of this puppy?
I guess they probably have to because of, I don't know. But that is, I honestly watched, the only thing worse than the Patriots was the broadcast. And it's just awful. And why does everybody have, I guess I shouldn't ask you considering the whole station's on NFL Sunday, but like, why do all of these broadcasts have to have 15 people around a set?
Now, I don't mind Michaels. Was Herb Street the one that bothered you, or are you talking about Filma the week before?
No, I just mean like the pregame, the whole product is...
You got Arcan in the pregame. I don't know what more you want.
No, you have Arcan. The picture literally is the entire staff. Mark Mingles has a pick. Whatever. It's just not for me. I try to avoid pregame, but that's... Thursday night, there's nothing else going on, and I got to figure they're going to talk about it, so I watch this stupid thing, and it sucks.
Now, you can text the show, 37937. We'll get to Bill's next destination. Curtis's intel here and his audio in a second. 401 texter, we would be more positive if we had beat Seattle. True?
Oh, yeah. If you're 2-0 and then you have a clunker, I mean, really good teams stink on Thursday night on the road. But
and the Jets are good. I you know I've been on the Jets since week one.
Right.
You're not. I get it. I know you feel like they're going to collapse.
There's a better chance the Red Sox make the playoffs than there is the Jets win the Super Bowl this year.
Well, nobody's saying win the Super Bowl.
Well, then what else do you do?
They're an AFC conference title game contender.
Is there anybody in America, AFC championship game, the Chiefs in the Jets AFC and the championship?
Jets and the Chiefs.
What I would just not watch. I would boycott. But who in the world would pick Aaron Rodgers over Patrick Mahomes in that spot?
That's what's I think that's the favorite right now. It will be Jets Chiefs in the AFC title.
Bills Chiefs again.
Yeah, I mean Bills do look good.
Josh Allen is just he is the second best quarterback in the NFL right now.
But you agree that's a playoff team, Jets.
I mean,
Rodgers looked so good in that game. That
how
was
many
peak
times
Rodgers.
Does Aaron Rodgers look good in Week 3 in his NFL career?
I don't know. That's 2010 Rodgers. That was virtuoso Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers in his career has won 11 playoff games. Tom Brady, after turning 40, won 10.
I get it, but he won one. I'm just saying, make the playoffs. He's good enough at 40, playing like that.
What's more impressive, Mahomes winning three with Reed or Aaron Rodgers winning one with Mike McCarthy?
Rodgers winning one. Rodgers winning it all, anything with that guy. Okay, so let's get to Bill. Speaking of that, Dallas has been the Ken and Curtis Show preferred destination for Bill for some time. Didn't come to pass. A rare miss by us. I still think it's going to happen. This seems like it's not Dallas, though, that this audio is going to allude to.
It's not Dallas. I really believe it's East Coast. So this team really would, I guess, somewhat count, but I would not refer to it as East Coast. If I had to put money down today, I would say one of these: Jets, Giants, or Eagles. Those are the three.
Not Cowboys. Wow.
No, because if they were going to do it, you do it.
Yeah. It's still
the only way I will give you the Cowboys, and this would be so Machiavellian. Is that how you say it? Machiavellian. Mm-hmm. If Stephen and Jerry Jones and Bill Belichick's just loathing of Robert Kraft is so strong that they did a wink nod, we'll get you in here, maybe even midseason, but not after Robert has to spend $15 million for you to do nothing.
I know, you love that narrative, and it's possible.
I mean,
they're vindictive enough to do it.
Because they didn't do anything with Mike McCarthy. He's like Cora was prior to the All-Star break.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he's not under contract beyond this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So that I'll give you that as a 10%.
Thank you.
But I had I never thought of this team, but...
And where was
this? This is on the Athletic podcast somewhere. I don't know.
Athletic podcast somewhere?
Bill Stephen Simmons. Ruiz. Bill Simmons Hello. Podcast.
Bill Simmons podcast. There you go. Right. Here is the scuttlebutt.
Bill Belichick is going to be coaching the Jaguars next season, and we'll know it by New Year's. It won't be official, but it will be the worst kept secret in the NFL that Bill Belichick is going to be the next coach of the Jaguars.
The Jaguars? Okay.
Without a doubt in my mind. There's already whispers there. I'll start with that, but I'm not gonna. I'll go somewhere else to prove it. I think the way Shad Khan is kind of ramping up his coaching hirings, he starts with the no name GM no name defensive coordinator and Gus Bradley. That doesn't work out.
Talent defensive coordinator.
One of the worst head coaches of all time. He goes with Doug Marrone. He goes to the other side, another assistant, and then he goes for the splash hire. He goes with Urban Meyer. The guy who's won, but he hasn't won at this level. And then the next one is Doug Peterson, the guy that's won at this level, but hasn't done it consistently, the one who hasn't done it again. I think next in line is Bill Belichick. And then the real reason why I believe this is because, like we talked about earlier, Shad Khan is a hands-off owner. I don't think he's going to get spooked like Atlanta did when Bill Belichick comes in and goes, I want to run the organization like this. I want to have GM powers. I want to be able to hire my own coordinators. I want to be able to decide the direction of this franchise. I don't think he's going to get spooked by that. I think he's going to like that. I think he's going to want it. And then if Belichick comes in and he throws those rings on the table, I think that's enough.
Wow, that is a shocker. And God help Mac Jones, who is looking for an exit from Jacksonville, if that is the case.
I'm pretty certain that Mac wouldn't be there. But there is the tie-in.
Got 5 minutes after the announcement.
That you have Tom Coughlin, a guy that worked with Bill years and years ago under Parcells, mm-hmm. was the sort of Polian-type role there when the Jaguars were in the AFC Championship. No income tax, so he can, he seems to be against the tax, and it's not too far.
Is he is he that much of a Florida guy? I know he's...
Well, Jupiter is
there.
A far drive from... but it's probably 20 minutes on a Gulfstream. You hop right over.
Okay, I'm not saying I wouldn't rule that out. As you know, I'm not impressed with Trevor Lawrence, who looked awful again last week, taking a safety late in the game to lose it. But they've got working material, definitely a possibility. I wouldn't rule that out. Either way, Bill's got options. He'll be back in the game. I think we all agree on that. 603 text, Curtis. Rumor is they'll unveil the statue for the Miami game, talking about the Brady statue, because Brady will be there.
Yeah, that would make sense, but it's very difficult for, when you're in the booth for those broadcasts, getting down on the field, doing that stuff, there's just not much time allotted for it. And there's not a lot of people in the seats at 12:45 for a 1-3 team. I don't know.
Well, they would announce that and say, get in your seats.
I just don't care. I don't want to give the craps any, I don't want to talk about anything other than how bad.
You loved Brady night, 6-12, God.
I did.
You and it your dad bonding in the stands together.
It was in the off season, and
you do want to do it with nice weather, so they want to get it done before it gets too late.
Yeah, I mean, what a beautiful day. I don't care about it. I really don't.
You don't care about the statue?
Why would I give a damn about a statue?
It's your.
I mean, it's not like your people that keep one up for Joe Paterno. I mean,
that's being kept safe somewhere private.
What a pathetic documentary about the Penn State fans. Holy hell. Happy Valley. Talk about Pano Valley. Sick people.
That's why I was an Alex Van Pelt fan growing up. I was a Pitt guy.
They have these, like, murals that still count in brick all of Paterno's wins so that he gets the love and adoration he deserves on, like, the side street.
You and James will take a picture next to the Brady statue within days of its unveiling. I mean, that's a guarantee.
Maybe they're waiting for the full P. Diddy investigation before putting up the statue.
What?
You never know. There could be names sullied on that list.
Tom?
I don't know.
Jeez.
You never know. I mean,
what an implication.
Well, I mean, there's rumors about a great basketball player being on the list.
Really? Jeez.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's
I mean, I would never say that Tom would ever do anything like that.
Yeah, don't start throwing things like that around.
I'm not. But I don't give a damn about the statue.
Really? That surprises me.
Why would I care? I'm 30.
You loved
6'12",
24. God, that was like the highlights of the offseason.
So that's like saying because you loved Larry Bird Night, you need to go hang out with the statue of Larry Bird. Those are two...
Statues are important. I mean...
It's two very different things. One is a night where all of his teammates, current and former, are honoring him and more specifically those great teams. And you're hearing Ty Law, and you're hearing Vince Wilfork, and you're hearing all these guys.
You might get some of that in the pregame or halftime again, whatever it is.
It's a totally different event. It's not even the same thing.
Yeah, but that will be like one of the most photographed things in New England for decades.
What's a bigger deal, the Foles statue or Brady statue?
Well, the Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Oh, the Foles statue is the best.
Right.
I mean, that's just a...
It goes full circle. Bill replaces a guy who they have the statue over.
But I bet you that statue gets a lot of love and admiration.
Well, they love a fake movie character in Philadelphia.
But you go to Milwaukee, they have the Fonzie statue.
They have the Laverne and Shirley statue.
I don't know about that one, but I mean, yes, people love statues.
Milwaukee.
If you nail this thing, I mean, people will come. They'll be flooding to Foxborough.
I mean,
they'll hand over $20 without even thinking about it.
Rest in peace, James Earl Jones.
Yes,
but yeah, I don't give two poops about the statue. I'm sure Tom is very worried about how his chiseled face will look.
When should Drake May play?
Week 5.
Not this week.
No.
Okay,
no.
So you're somewhat reasonable. I mean, people are, like, losing their mind.
But
Shime has lost his mind.
But it's the dumbest thing in the world, and this is across radio stations, across platforms, people saying, if you think the quarterback's the problem, then you don't know football. Like, okay. Like, that's like saying, you know, the pilot's not the issue, it's the plane. Well, he's in charge of it. He is the one man that can decide if this crashes or lands safely.
So you agree with Shime. You put some blame on Brissett for this game.
Of course.
I mean, the Hooper miss is your best argument. That is a good call.
And it's also...
It was a missed throw.
When he completes...
Second and six.
We have truly gone from effortless success to slogging to a completion. It is so hard to watch.
He is tough, though.
He has these wind-ups, and it's like, even when he completes, it's just not aesthetically pleasing.
Well, of course.
It is nobody's saying that Drake May should play is following that up with they'd be a playoff team.
Well, fine, but you don't want to put him in San Francisco. I think that's at least you're sane.
Right, that's fine.
Why the hell would you put him on the road there?
I would give him 70% of the reps this week, though.
50. I'll meet you in the middle of 50.
Ooh, good negotiation. Can I get the warranty?
Yeah. And your powertrain.
Boy, did you
with the mud flaps.
Boy, did you get hosed on that warranty? You came in. That's why.
I trust Ernie Bach implicitly, so whatever he gave me, I'm happy with.
I wasn't going to mention where you got it. But anyway, he does a great job. And you can have simultaneous truths. The team would not be a playoff team with Drake May under center.
Yep.
He should be playing.
He should not be playing today.
He should be playing in week 5 at home against the Dolphins.
Week 5 asterisk if the offensive line is healthy. If it's the fourth string tackle and the third string guard, I wait till week 8. I think they kick it down the road.
But the people that say, you know, don't worry about this, what are they going to change with the offensive line between now and week 5 that will have any difference?
They're going to have healthy bodies.
Okay, are they going to trade for someone? Are they going to make a big midseason acquisition?
But week one, they had their quote-unquote starters, and they looked okay.
Did Drake May outplay Jacoby Brissett in the competition this summer?
This summer or training camp?
This summer, the training camp, when they had this battle.
I don't know about summer. I didn't watch any summer practice. But training camp, it was Drake.
Training camp is in the summer, Ken.
Oh, I thought you meant like going back pre-camp.
No.
I think of camp as like fall, into the season.
The camp ends in
August.
Right.
Technically, it's summer. Okay. Mayo said we take in the whole body of work.
Gerard Mayo said he won. Gerard Mayo said Drake May won the competition.
Yes.
Okay.
In training camp.
And who is a better player when they play their best?
Who is a better player when they play their best?
Right. Whose ceiling is higher?
Oh, Drake or Jacoby?
Right.
I mean, I don't think we know that. Okay. We don't know. Drake May could be a total bust.
Do we know what Jacoby's ceiling is?
Yes.
Yeah. It's about...
I would hope Drake May has a higher ceiling.
Okay, so there we go. One was the third overall pick. One was in the third round, probably for a reason. So work with me here.
Okay.
They have the opportunity to be better on offense if Drake May plays.
And plays well, yes.
Okay, and would you rather growing pains, because you and I agree, growing pains happen. Didn't happen often for Brady, but he had four pick games against the Broncos. He had rough games that first year. First couple years, he was...
2002, growing pain season.
Missed the playoffs, 7-9.
Yeah.
But he led the league in the NFL in 2002 with touchdown passes, something that's not often brought up. But either way, yes, struggled at times, was clunky at times, but that led you to 2003, where you bring in Rodney Harrison, where you bring in, you know, talent around him on offense. You draft Deion Branch David Givens and all of that, and Benjamin Watson, and you have a team that's being built, or Daniel Graham at the time. What you do with Drake May is everybody works together, and there's now a destination. When you have Jacoby Brissett in there, it's like you're staying two nights. You barely take your suitcase out.
Right.
You just keep your clothes in there, and you're getting ready to go home.
So week five.
Yes.
Regardless of the line.
Regardless.
Who's the fourth-string tackle that played in this game?
Billy Bob Thornton.
Okay, so let's say Billy Bob's out there versus the Dolphins. You don't care. Drake's in.
And I don't want to hear two words about the offensive coordinator. I don't want to hear.
Well, you and I agree on that.
It's so, like, he sucks. Okay, it's like...
Well, we don't know.
It's like, yes, if you're good at that job, you don't have it for the first time at 50.
Okay. Oh, he's going to be a late bloomer. There's a lot of late bloomers out there.
Okay, just my opinion, he's not a good offensive coordinator.
Okay.
There's a reason why he was the 11th choice or the 12th choice.
The same reason Craig Breslow probably sucks at his job. He was the 12th choice, and he was basically Theo Epstein's valet. So... I am not going to sit here and blame Craig Breslow. I'm going to blame Sam Kennedy and John Henry. The same way I'm not going to sit here and blame Alex effing Van Pelt.
Thank you.
I'm going to blame Robert Kraft.
We agree on that. But I'm saying week five is the week that May should play. Unless the offensive line is still this banged up, then I'm punting to week eight.
Well,
pushing it down the road.
The O-line's banged up. You're punting either way there, Ken.
Braverman, when should Drake May play? You break the tie. What week?
I agree week five is the best spot.
Week five. All right, so we're on board. If you agree, disagree, 617-779-7937. Are you fine waiting one more week for Drake?
Are you out on this team? Was Thursday night so offensive? No, I'm asking the fan, the listeners. As a long time, there are a lot of people around my age that didn't miss a snap for two decades. Really, going back to 93 when Bledsoe was drafted and he had Parcells. Is this the lowest point? Because you don't have Bill, you don't have Tom. You don't know who the coach is. You don't know the destination. Thursday night shook me to my core.
Yeah, but remember the season finale last year? That's really the nadir, when Bill was still here.
Right, but there were still several. I would say it was close to 50-50 that wanted Bill back, but with further investment.
But now you at least have Drake. I mean, the Red Sox have Roman Anthony.
Okay.
The Bruins have Fabian Lysell.
Do you think about Roman Anthony the same way people think about the Roman Empire?
I do. I think about him a lot.
Yeah.
He should probably be up this last couple of games. All right, we got calls on this. We will take May versus Jacoby. Pats offense, when Drake should play. Are you out on the Pats? 617-779-7937. Ken and Curtis Show from Fenway Park. Please, let this breathe for a second. Cannot
find this was so good Thursday.
Well, it was Tuesday. We're invited to the show.
Yeah, I couldn't make it.
Not only could you not make it, I mean, it was 2 o'clock and you canceled. I'm ready to go to my first social event with Curtis since the Encore trip a couple years ago. And
put it on my tab. I'll get you next time.
2 o'clock, 3 hours before the show, the gates open and you're out.
Yeah, I saw you there humping Arcan's leg. I mean, it seemed like you did a good job finding a replacement.
Arcan was not there. I went by myself. I had an empty seat beside me.
Yep. Well, your podcast is actually starting next week. It's called Table for One.
I actually invited Danielle Murr, formerly of the morning show, up to the suite to hang out with her boyfriend. They came up and
Danielle has a boyfriend.
I don't know if it was a current or ex or what was going on there, but you know,
that's I got replaced by Danielle.
I invited the two friends that I have on short notice. They couldn't make it, so it was like, what am I going to do?
All right, I love you.
What happened? I mean, that would have been a great. It was a great show.
It was. It's too late. I can't go out that late. I just can't.
Well, just tell me that 3 days before instead of.
I thought I was going to be able to make it work. I couldn't. I'm sorry.
God. Try to connect.
Oh, God. I think we have enough connection. You don't listen to anything I say.
I try to listen. Take it under advisement. This is the Ken and Curtis program. We are at Fenway Park. Site of some great concerts. I mean.
Did you and Danielle reminisce over the good old days during COVID?
Yes, we did.
When you would help her write those hourly updates.
Red Sox, since the All-Star break, just real quickly, are 20.
Is it true that you did some Courtney bashing? Because that's not nice.
I did not. Okay. We both love Courtney. 23-36. The Red Sox since the All-Star break. 23-36. But the concert lineup was excellent this year.
So where does that money go? Did you hear Breslow on Thursday?
I heard you talking about that. He sidestepped that one pretty nicely.
I mean, that's his one real great skill.
If every bucket of Fenway Sports Group is its own entity, they probably just keep it in that bucket to book better concerts the next year. And they have a good lineup for concerts, I mean.
So how does that work? So you, as a venue, you pay a guy or group or gal to come.
Yeah.
Or don't you just agree to split whatever the revenue would be?
Good question. I don't know. We need a concert guy to get to the
bottom. Sure, Greg probably knows.
In the meantime, let's go to the phones. Back on the Patriots, Drake May, when he should play, and whether you're in for the long haul with this year's Pats team or you're out after one defeat in New York. Well, two straight losses. Let's go to Swampscott, where Daniel Murray is from, and talk to Rob. Hello, Rob.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, Rob. How are you?
Good. Ken, my advice is to take the trash out more for Curtis, and then maybe he won't blow you off with concerts.
There's a lot of trash. I mean, he's a
A lot of trash. So listen, to the point, I ran this by a couple friends last night. We were just shooting the breeze, and two of them looked at me and said, that's like the best idea you've had in a while. So here it is. Okay. When Jacoby Brissett goes down, because he is getting maimed, okay, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. When he goes down, by all means, you do not put QB2 in. You go right to QB3 and let Drake May continue to learn from the sidelines where he is not going to get maimed, and then hard build yourself an offensive line to protect your number 3 overall pick, and then next year, let May go. But don't let May play in behind that offensive line. We will screw up next year in the middle of this season if we do that.
All right, Curtis, you've been an advocate against what Rob is suggesting, believing that even if he gets hurt, worst case scenario, he gets hurt, the medical staff patches him up, you're fine for next year.
Yeah, what do you mean he gets hurt? So how long is he out?
Yeah, I mean, Rob dropped, but
I mean, I would say it's the same thing in a very different way. I just view it as bewildered as I viewed the goalie talk for the Bruins, that they were going to alternate goalies. Like, it's just not going to happen. They're going to stick with a good goalie, and they're going to ride him until the train falls off the tracks. And everybody said, ooh, Curtis, Mr. Hockey. Yep, right again, as I am about most things. And then when it comes to this, it's football, not patty cakes. And the only
you
way
have
you
to
can
ask
experience
goalie Bob a little more.
Yeah, what about goalie Bob?
The only way you become good is by doing the thing you're being paid to do.
All right, now what about Bryce Young?
Bryce Young was never the guy, but that's good. You found out. Do you think the Cardinals would have known about Rosen and gotten Kyler Murray if they didn't play him right away? That solved their problem.
I was a big Rosen fan. I thought he was going to be.
You kept talking about them. Like Mike Florio quoted you about a Rosen trade. Like, but
you would agree, Nick Bosa is not an appealing start in San Francisco for Drake May behind this line. Can we at least give Rob that?
Okay.
Let Jacoby get maimed in a week and a half. Good plan. And then bring in full week of prep, Miami home game, week 5, bang.
Okay, but the people that go back to, like, Mahomes, the Chiefs in 2017, the year the Chiefs drafted Mahomes at number 10 overall, they started the year 5-0. Mm-hmm. It's apples and dump trucks. And Mahomes wasn't a top 5 pick. obviously should have been the number one pick, but wasn't a top five pick in that draft. Drake May was three. And if you go back at picks in the top five, they averaged to start between weeks two and three over the last 20 years.
But if they wait to week five, week eight, and he gets enough in this year, you could still make enough out of the season of progress.
I assure you, by the time the season is over, everybody will say, thank God we got him in there. It will not be even it'll be like the Bill Brady debate. It'll be so settled, it won't be discussed.
But promise me you won't look back and say they should have started him earlier, in hindsight. Because they're doing the right thing in waiting a few weeks anyway.
What if he goes in and plays great? Then he maybe would have beaten the Seahawks.
Let's see, there we go.
Be the human nature?
But do you believe that? Jacoby was the problem?
He found some oracle of quarterbacking in between weeks three and four that made him do things that he couldn't have done 2 weeks prior?
I like the mental reps. He's not ready. I'm a mental rep guy.
Ken, if he goes out there and for some reason plays against the 49ers and they win 31-28, aren't you saying where the hell was he last week against the Jets?
Yeah, but that's not going to happen.
But you said that you can't go back no matter what happens and say he should have started sooner. Well, if he plays great, of course that's what you would do.
I brace myself for that then. I don't subscribe to that. What I do subscribe to are the phones. Let's go to Bill in Newton. Hello, Bill.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I want to change gears a little bit. Last year in the first Miami game, you had a 6'2 corner out jump a 5'10 wide receiver on a horribly thrown jump ball in the middle of the field. And we basically had Deion Sanders, according to most of the people around here, and Christian Gonzalez. And there's no doubt he was a bright spot, and then he got hurt. And then this year, he's looked terrible in preseason, but it's preseason. And the last two games, he has gotten burned on a horrific level. And I wonder, does Christian Gonzalez kind of suck now? Is that bright spot now a weakness?
That was Shime's one bright spot from the game. I mean, he got beat for a touchdown by Wilson, who's good. I think he held his own.
I've heard the reaction about Gonzalez has been all over the map. I've heard a lot of what Bill's saying, that he sucked. Obviously, I can't go back and break. Garrett Wilson is a great player. By the way, the one positive of that broadcast, did you see the interview with Garrett Wilson and his dad?
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome. Yep. Very well done. I don't know. Andy Hart was big on that in the offseason about Christian Gonzalez kind of being a paper tiger. I guess we'll see as the year goes along, but I don't know. I can't tell you. I know exactly.
He did pretty well against Jamar Chase week one.
Yeah.
Week two, it was a tough, Seahawks, in hindsight, have a much better receiving core than you do, and that kind of decided the game. So it was tough to have him lock anybody down in that one.
Right.
Back to Maytalk, Sorja in Mansfield. Good morning, Sorja.
How are you guys doing today?
Good, and you?
Doing well. A couple of quick points here. Like, Curtis, you are totally right about the, distinction with, you always hear about, Brady sat, Mahomes sat, Jordan Love sat. They're sitting behind all-time quarterbacks, and I'm just getting sick and tired of the AVP that if Drake May sits on the sideline with the clipboard, that he's learning more rather than he was playing. And, I understand that the O-line is a concern, but how many quarterbacks have already gone down? Like, J.J. McCarthy went down before the season even started. Jordan Love got injured. Obviously, the Tua situation is different. So I think the only way to salvage this season is you see what you have with Drake May, because think about it. The NFL has totally changed in terms of quarterbacks, because you have to be able to make a decision quick on a quarterback. Otherwise, you end up with the Trevor Lawrence situation where he's really not that great, but you have to give him an excess of $200 million. And, obviously, Curtis tonight, go Eagles. And, Ken, I got to say, Shime has been killing it lately, so you got to give him some of that jam you always rave about from Brookline. But, hey, have a great day, guys. Take
care. Yeah, I would
say he's referencing the apricot chutney at
you love a good chutney.
Michael's Deli.
Work with me here. Let's say they bring in Drake May in week 15.
Mm-hmm.
And
Shine, by the way, played Mumford & Sons again this week. It's like the fifth straight week.
Yeah.
Sorry, I
tune out music most of the time. But
good.
Drake May week 15, and, it's nothing. They're playing games that don't matter against teams that are already clinching their playoff spot, and it's just kind of like that final Jets game.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, you hit training camp, and he sucks. He's missing receivers. He's not getting the offense. They bring in a new coordinator, because I believe that could very well happen. So he's getting ruined like all the other people get ruined because you have multiple coordinators in multiple years and he's seeing ghosts and he's not the right guy.
Yeah.
Then you're now 3 years away from a rebuild that should have started 5 years ago, where you're sitting back saying, what do we have? If Drake May goes out and beats the Dolphins, I don't know who's after the Dolphins, the Jaguars or...
Houston.
So let's say he beats the Dolphins, loses to Houston, beats the Jaguars in three games. Just work with me. And he goes 2-1, and in the Jaguars game in the fourth quarter, he blows out his knee. But he's really good in three games. Then you got your guy.
Yeah.
Then you don't need to use it, whatever top five pick on a quarterback. You use it on a left tackle, and Drake May has played like Joe Burrow did. And maybe you get to the Super Bowl like he did with Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, but you could easily have the same plan week 8, 9, and 10, and he gets hurt in Chicago, and you found your guy. What's the difference? You got a three-week cameo later when the O-line was healthy and ready to go.
The O-line is never going to be good this year, Ken. Stop
holding. Wait till Cole Strange comes back, would you please?
Yeah, has Bill addressed that one on one of his 62 podcasts?
Wait, the clock management here is horrible. Braverman, where are we on the clock?
Way over.
Disaster. Thank you.
Who's the host of this show?
Who is the host of this show? It's the Curtis Show, featuring Ken at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. More, including Van Pelt talking about regretting his play calling and also the mental reps that he would like Drake May to continue. That's next.